Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Jaron Young on the show. Jaron was born and raised in Fresno, California, and is the co-owner and operator of Phil's Family Grill. In partnership with older brother Philip Young, they thrive to excel as entrepreneurs by continuing the legacy of their late father, Philip Young, as the owner and operators of Phil's Corner Grill in Clovis. They're excited to be serving Fresno with their twist on California-style barbecue. In this conversation, we talk about all things barbecue, focusing on tri-tip, ribs, pulled pork, barbecue sauce, and much more. If you have any interest in grilling, I know you'll love this conversation. Let's go meet Jaron, and Baker will take us there. Waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best. Jaron, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
Actually, I enjoy Indian food. One place called India's Oven. It's on Shaw. Ashland and Marks. I enjoy the butter chicken, the garlic naan, and the basmati rice. Great place.
There really is nothing better if you want comfort food. Like just sitting down with a big. I actually learned how to make it at home. And occasionally my wife and I will look at each other like Monday when we're thinking about like what we want to cook that week. And we both kind of do that smile and nod like we both know we want some butter chicken. I haven't yet mastered how to make naan at home. That's something I still feel like, I think it's doable, but I just haven't gone that direction yet. But when you're souping up the gravy with some garlic naan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's really no. Is there anything particular about India's Oven that you like? Because I haven't been there. I've been to a few different places in town.
Out of all the Indian restaurants I've tried, they've been the most consistent and had the best flavor to me.
Okay.
I tried a few different places and they pretty much stand out.
Yeah.
Great flavor profile.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about food a bunch, but I wanted to start by talking a little bit about your story. What role did food play in your family growing up?
It was a major role. My mother was a chef. Father, obviously a chef. Grandparents, we grew up eating soul food. They from the down south, so we got a lot of pig feet and a little bit of everything. It was a major role. We a lot of family gatherings was based around food, and it was a major part in our family.
How early did you start cooking in your family?
I could say the first time, and I started barbecuing. Maybe I want to say probably 11, 12.
Okay.
11, 12, yeah. I just always enjoyed it. I used to watch my mom and my family cook at, family gatherings, and I always wanted to do it. One day I took the little Weber outside and put the charcoal in there and threw some ribs on it. And my mother, auntie, it was like, man, them taste like your grandpa ribs. First time doing it. I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I could. And it came out great. And ever since then, I've been grilling.
Yeah, it feels like in the food world, there's lots of different ways to learn. I mean, like these days, you got a lot of YouTube chefs teaching people how to cook. And then some people grow up with like family and some people have mentors. And then some people go to culinary school. Can you talk about like learning to barbecue? Like what was that like for you? Was it trial and error? Was it a lot of mentoring? What was it like?
It was absolutely a lot of trial and error. A lot of it was watching my father. That's what he did for a long time. He started off his culinary career when he was still in high school in some place. It was called, I believe, the Tiger's Den. And, he started off there, cooking, and it was just always a part of our family. So I always like trying to cook on a smoker, trying different ways of cooking. And just, it's a lot of trial and error, but it was always, more so perfecting because I already had the skill down. It was just more so, trying to perfect it. I would sit in front of the grill for hours the whole time watching the cooking process of all the meats and seeing it glisten in the sun and stuff. I used to watch the whole transition, and that's just how I learned, It was just fun for me. It was something that's always, it was always interesting.
Yeah, I will say as someone that, now uses kind of not a Traeger, but something like that. And for a while I had like a kind of like a It's not operational at the moment, but kind of just traditional offset smoker. I'd just be out there with the ice chest, staring at the meat, just trying to make sure the fire was right. And like I really do think to become a pit master, you just got to sit there with it. It's like you're almost watching plants grow, is what it feels like some of the time, where you're just sitting there like, is that the right temperature? Let's jump into what style of barbecue do you do, if you were to describe it?
California grilling, backyard barbecue. I don't smoke, I grill, indirectly. And that's how I would describe it. That's how that's how I was taught to cook. It was called California grill, California style barbecue.
Okay, and let's jump into some specific meats, because I've got a few questions for you as someone that barbecues and grills regularly and wanted to do things in a better way. So let's start by
Yes,
talking
sir.
about tri-tip. Tri-tip is the thing in Fresno, and that's as someone that moved here, like that's what I noticed when I got here, is it's all about the tri-tip in a lot of places, and there's a lot of different styles in town. Well, I'm just gonna start with a basic question. How much pink do you want in your tri-tip personally?
Honestly, I'm like a little to no pink,
Okay.
preferably for me. But I'm like probably like a medium well to where it's a little pink but no blood. Not a
Is
big fan of
and
the.
that's different from like steak, right? Like I feel like tri-tip, you can cook it a little longer and it can still be tender. And maybe I don't fully grasp why that is, but there are some places that go heavy pink, and I feel like medium rare tri-tip can get kind of rubbery quick. And but you also don't want to overdo it. And so I always struggle with this. Like, do you go by temperature based on your tri-tip or feel?
I do temperature, but honestly, it's like I say, I learned by trial and error, so I know what it looks like, when it's done, know what it feels like. But as far as a well medium, I would pull the tri-tip off medium well, and let it, or medium, and let it sit. Because, once you pull it off, just like steak, it's gonna, continue to cook for a while. And I keep it open, I don't wrap it or nothing like that, just let it sit. And temperature wise, I like it about a 160, pulled off about 160.
Okay. And then what do you think is the most common error for the at-home barbecue, or what's the most common error they make with tri-tip, you think?
Temperature, controlling and understanding your grill, learning how to control those coals. That's one of the things I was taught by my dad is to, you got to have the coals got to be right. You can't put it on too early. You got to make sure that temperature is right, because, I had flare-ups and ruined a whole bunch of meat. It was a learning process.
I mean, I feel like people watch like commercials where people are cooking meat and they see the fires like, charring it, and it's like they think, that's part of the process, but
No,
it's definitely not.
that's
Can you
for the
explain
commercial.
why
That's visual.
flare-ups are so bad?
Was that? I'm sorry.
Can you explain why flare-ups are just so bad?
Oh man, I mean, one, you're gonna cook the outside before the inside. That outside is gonna be charred most, 9 times out of 10. But the flare-ups, yeah, it's gonna burn it. Gonna give it horrible texture, horrible color. Just all around a bad thing. You gotta control your fire.
Do you think tri-tip is best served in a sandwich, or do you prefer it without? Because that's what people do around here. The tri-tip sandwich is everywhere. Is that your preference?
My preference is tri-tip sandwiches, personally, but I know a lot of people, more so maybe the older crowd, that likes it just as is. I could know a guy, he likes it, sunny side up eggs, tri-tip, and he eats it just like that.
And on tri-tip sandwiches, and I've noticed this around Fresno for sure, is there's different philosophies on how thin to cut it. There's a butcher shop kind of near my house, and they cut it like almost so thin where it's like ribbons. And then there's one another place in town that I go to, and they cut it like they're cutting like skirt steak. So what do you have a preference personally?
Like, I don't like it too thin nor too thick. I want to cut, brisket or more, cut a little thicker, maybe an eighth of an inch. Just enough to have that good texture, good bite into it. It's too thin, it just melts in your mouth, and that's good and everything, but I like the bite. I like the bite on the meat.
Yeah, my dad and I have been arguing because he cuts them like two thick slices of brisket thick, and I'm like I shouldn't have to cut this like a steak, I shouldn't require a steak knife to cut through tri-tip, but
And one thing that's important on the cut of a tri-tip is to cut it against the grain. You know, you cut it the wrong way, then it's a little tougher. It doesn't have that, you know, that bite. And
And
that
there's
was
two
something.
different angles on it, right? Like
Yeah,
there's two,
yeah.
so you got to kind of cut one side one way and another side the other way.
Yep.
Whereas most people just
Cut
kind of
it.
go across it.
You'll see it as it lines up. As you're cutting it, you'll see where the grain, when it starts to turn and you flip it, yeah. But it's all part of the skill, part of learning and you know, having knowledge.
So there's a lot of different rubs that go on tri-tip. Do you prefer a rub on it, or do you like it just salt and pepper and old school?
We have our house rub is, yeah, we have a rub, but we don't, I don't like to overcoat it because I like the meat to speak for itself, you know, the
Yeah.
flavors in the meat and the juices of the meat. So if you do a light coating of a rub, you know, and let the heat do the rest.
Okay. All right. Let's jump to ribs now. How much trimming do you do on your ribs? Do you cut a lot of the fat
Absolutely
off?
none.
Really? Okay, so you leave all the fat on.
All the fat on, I don't even take the membrane off on the back. And for me,
Really?
that's really, and it comes out perfect. I never had any complaints. And that's how I always done it. I have done it and took the membrane off and trimmed that lip off the back and everything. And it's just, I don't know. I like to leave it all on there. Leave it
That's
all in there.
interesting. I because
Yeah.
I sometimes I'll get like pork spare ribs, and they can just be super fatty. And I look at them, I'm like, should I trim these at all, or should I just leave it? So your case for leaving it is that there's more flavor in the fat, or something like that.
It's more flavor in the fat, and then due to how I cook it works well. It's tender, and a lot of that fat renders during the cooking process. So I will do it direct heat, then take it to indirect and let it kind of smoke within the grill, not really smoking, but getting that residual heat, and it just renders well. It's always been, it works for me.
I go back and forth with my wife about ribs, and because she likes them almost like what I would describe as like not braised, but like they just the meat just there's no it just gives as soon as you touch it, and like the bones pull out. Whereas for me, I like them to stay on the bones, and then but give once I bite in. Where are you
Yeah.
in that kind of world?
I like the bite. Fall off the bone is just too tender. Don't give enough, you know. How do I say that? It's just not enough to it. It go it's I like to bite on the bone. It's just like when you're smoking the meat, that texture, even though it's tender, you know, you still have that bite. I don't want no bone, be able to pull the bone out or none of that. But yeah.
It turns into mush, and I tell her that, and
Yeah.
she's like, yeah, but if you put that mush on mashed potatoes, I'm like, then you're not eating ribs, you're just eating like it. I make fun of her and say cat food, but you know,
Yeah.
like it's just it doesn't have a texture. Texture is necessary. So do you
Very
wrap your
necessary.
ribs through the process, like when they go to indirect heat, or you keep them unwrapped?
I keep them unwrapped the whole process. Yeah, I keep them all unwrapped. I don't wrap nothing. Only thing I have wrapped when I've cooked and I don't cook often is like pork shoulder.
Okay.
You know, because it renders a lot of juice and that would get on your fire and cause a big fire.
Okay. Well,
But
make the case to me, because I've always wrapped my ribs, so they aren't going to dry out if I don't wrap them.
see, this it's all about skill and then your temperature control. Yeah, I never it, and it could dry out, you know. But I don't close my grill and walk away for an hour. You know, I'm always coming back and I'm checking, I'm flipping it, I'm moving it to a better location, you know, because the heat changes, you know, throughout the process. You move your coals. It's all about the way you do it, you know.
Okay. Do you do any basting on your ribs? Do you coat them as you cook them, or do you keep them just plain and then sauce for after?
I just keep them plain. I do a rub on them, leave it like that. And I don't even serve my meat with a sauce. I do have sauce on the side, but I will not put sauce on it. Like I say, I like the for you to have that natural flavor of the mesquite and the meat. Taste that good seasoning. Make your own choice, put the sauce on there.
There you go. Let's say I was going to strand you on a desert island with a barbecue, and then you could either choose between pork spare ribs, baby back ribs, or beef ribs. What would you choose and why?
Oh, that's a good. I'll probably go with the baby backs because they're meaty. They're man, baby backs, man. Even though I don't cook them often, but when I do, it's the best texture, the best flavor to me. It's just the best.
Yeah.
You can't beat a baby back or the St. Louis. The St. Louis is good too.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely would join you on that island if you had baby back ribs for air. I
it.
do have a, I know you said you don't cook it all that often, but I do have some pork shoulder questions. Similar question to the ribs. You know, there's a lot of schools of thought on how far to take them. When I do pork shoulder, I generally take it to 205, kind of that range. Do you want to take it really far so you just get kind of like closer to mush, or do you want more texture in your pork shoulder?
I take it far. I like it to disintegrate, basically. You
Yeah.
know, like I started off, and then, you know, I switch up the cooking process when I do cook it to get that more mushy consistency, but not mushy to where it's just, you know, just disintegrated. But I like it to be a little, you know, just barely touch it and it falls apart.
Okay. Do you use any kind of sugar? What's your rub look like if you were to do a pork shoulder versus some?
It'll be my house rub, which is savory, but I add brown sugar to it, sometimes molasses, and then when I change over the cooking process, I actually add root beer to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I hadn't thought of that because you get the sweet and then the kind of the that's
And it works well, sweet and savory, it works well.
So I've got family that lives in North Carolina, and so when they've been out here and had some of my pork shoulder, they get mad at me because they don't got the vinegar sauce, barbecue sauce. Where do you stand on the barbecue sauce debate between the more, I guess Texas or Midwest style, St. Louis style barbecue sauce versus like a vinegar based?
I'm more brown sugar or tomato-based sauce. The vinegar base, I'm not a big fan of it, but I do like a sweet and spicy sauce. I actually have a sauce that's a pineapple habanero,
Ooh.
and it's, man, this is good.
Okay, and that was got what I was going to ask you next was about barbecue sauces. And I think there's a lot of people that lean either sweet or spicy. It sounds like you're in the middle, but if you had to lean one way, which would you?
I would lean towards the sweet just because it's more, you know, it's more, how can I say this? You know, the heat is different on the palate with the barbecue, you know, depending on what you cook and what you're eating or your flavor, how you your taste buds. But I think sweet has a better flavor profile, better on your palate. It
Okay.
goes better with meat to me.
Should your when you're making a barbecue sauce at home, should you shoot for it to be slightly more runny or slightly more thick? What would kind of be your textural preference?
Slightly more runny, not to where it's dripping like that, but yes, yeah, kind of in the middle
Okay.
to where it sticks to the meat, but you know, it's not just all over the place.
Yeah, because you want some adhesion, but sometimes people come up with these, they have these big globs and they just kind
Yeah,
of like ooze and
no,
it just kind of, it almost
and it's
cakes
just
your meat.
horrible. It's horrible for presentation, but I just like to pour it, you know, not to dollop.
Yeah. If you were sitting down with a plate of ribs and tri-tip, what would be your two ideal side dishes?
Man, that's a big one because I kind of go with three, but I'll probably do the baked bean and the potato salad. I like to mix the, I like to scoop a little bean, a little potato salad after that bite of meat is, you know, the cold and hotness. Yeah, potato salad and baked beans.
Yeah. I personally would add mac and cheese there too, but I think
That's
that was we maybe have similar palates.
yeah.
All right. So my next section is called underrated versus overrated. I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. Tell me whether you think they're under or overrated and why. Okay. And feel free to pass on any of these. All right. The first one is Me and Ed's Pizza. Is that under or overrated?
That is overrated. My kids love me and it's. I more so like Round Table in that category, but yeah, overrated.
Okay. Why do you prefer round table?
I like the crunch on the pizza on the dough. It's just better flavor, more crackery, I guess, to me, like a crisp.
Okay. Next one, and I see people that are in the barbecue world talking about these all the time, and I'm curious your perspective. Barbecue competitions, are those under or overrated?
They're underrated because there's a lot of people with a lot of talent in the barbecue field. Man, I've met a lot of people that don't even, that like that Full Circle, the lady that won, she didn't even want to do the competition, you know, and she had, you know, good meat. She had good barbecue. And it's a lot of people out there that's like that, that don't take advantage of those type of competitions. And they could get, you know, get your name out there, and they could also, you know, help you better yourself in you know, in your field or in your Crap.
All right, next one. Kind of a fast casual barbecue place, Dickie's. Is that place over or underrated?
Overrated. I wasn't a big fan of Dickies. I'm not a big fan of Dickies. Just like I'm used to, I don't go often out to places for barbecue,
Yeah.
especially something big like that. I'm more into the, home style barbecue.
And when you make it so well at home, it's got to be hard to walk into a place that's trying to do it at scale.
Yes. And it's not to say that it's horrible at all. It's just that's the difference when you're doing something that's in a bigger, larger scale like that. It just always takes away somewhat from the quality.
Okay. Next one is something someone will always see on the grocery store shelf. Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. What do you think? Under overrated?
I like it. And I have made sauces using Sweet Baby Ray's as a base at home, But I think it's overrated. A little too sweet, a little, too. It's not, it's, I honestly rather go for Bullseye.
All right. Next one, and this is something I'm into. I'm curious your perspective. The Texas style smoking. Do you think that's it's very trendy right now? Do you think it's overrated at this point?
No, I don't. I think it's underrated. A lot of people are like that smoking, you smoke meats. And that's what a lot of people are doing, like you said, out here nowadays. But I think it's underrated. I love Maker, Texas. Love his ribs. I've tried them when he was on McKinley and Fresno, and that's probably the best smoked ribs I've had. And I'm not a fan of the smoked meats. So, and I know you're a big fan of Texas style barbecue, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I like all. I'm ecumenical. I like all the meats, but I think I have a family connection, and
Okay.
it's some things taste like childhood, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
All right, next one. Plant-based barbecue like jackfruit. Is that under or overrated?
It's underrated. Never had the barbecue, but I've tried the Jacka and I've tried their tacos. And man, you won't miss the meat, I'll tell you that. Actually, I didn't think it would be that good. Honestly didn't. But I would love to try the barbecue style. Jackfruit, plant-based meals.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's like a nice, kind of you can use meat as, not every night. You can have a jackfruit
Nice
night a couple
substitute.
times. Yeah, it seems like it has a good place to a good role. Next one, Traegers. You think those things are over or underrated?
I've actually never used a Traeger, but I know a lot of people that do, and they cook well. I mean, I've eaten off a few of them, some food off a few of them. So I will say they're underrated.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like mine. I will say, like, there is a ceiling on what you can produce with something that's an automated machine. And I think my best pieces of meat off my more traditional smoker definitely eclipse what I could do on the Traeger. But the Traeger, I mean, the thing is, you can be working around your house and not be sitting in the backyard with a 12-pack of Coors watching your meat for X number of hours. So like I get the benefit. There is a trade-off though in my mind.
Well, I enjoy the cooking process, so that would be out of my league.
Okay. All right. Next one. Grilled fruit. Is that over or underrated? I've got some friends that do some grilled peaches and things.
Man, that was the first time the only time I had grilled fruit was peaches. Unless you count tomato, and that is a fruit. But my friend Tommy Johnson, he's a chef. He moved out of state, but at his house one night we had a barbecue eggplant. We had the eggplant and everything, and then he put some peaches on there, man. He put a little cinnamon sugar. That was the best thing I've had, honestly, when it comes to a barbecue dessert.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. There was a friend of mine that kind of lives in the Napa Valley area, and his mom was cooking for us, and she grilled some peaches, and then she made some homemade ice cream, and then she gave us little glasses of cognac. I about lost my.
Man.
I was KO'd. I was like, last meal done. Great.
Awesome.
All right, next one, and these are super trendy. I'm curious your perspective. There's all these people that have these home griddles, like flat tops in their backyard, or they get out the hibachi style like things, and it seems like overkill to me, but I'm curious your perspective.
I have a 36-inch Blackstone flat top, and when I first got it, I used it maybe every weekend. maybe twice a week sometimes. Try to cook everything I can. I even cook noodles on it one time
Really?
just to do it. But I believe that they're underrated. There's not enough people know there's a wide span of things you could cook on that flat top desk. You'll be amazed how it comes out.
Wow. So do you have it in your backyard, or where do you keep it?
Yeah, in my backyard. I seen a guy on TikTok make a chicken Cajun chicken Alfredo on there, and I'm trying to do that this week, next weekend.
Oh, is it
That's
that? Is
fun.
that the Louisiana guy that's always
Yeah, he
throws a
throw
stick of butter? Yeah, I love that guy.
the
Yeah,
butt on there.
that's my favorite. All right, last one in this section: the green eggs. Those like egg shape looking barbecues. They're kind of, you
Oh,
can smoke with them. You can do other things with them. What do you think about them?
I think they're cool. I had an uncle. He had one, and he used to cook all kind of stuff on it. Smoke a lot of meats. He was big on smoking when he did do it. But yeah, they cook pretty well. It's like those. It's like a similar to a deep pit cook in a way.
All right. So we're going to transition and talk about some kind of business related questions. And first one I'm going to ask you is super loaded. I'll just be honest with you. And I have strong opinions. Do you think people pay enough for food and more specifically barbecue?
Man, honestly, to me, I believe that in some cases people pay a little too much for it. And I say that because, yes, a lot of work goes into it. It's a lot of skill, and a lot of people can acquire good taste in barbecue. But I think that it's a little overpriced. I've seen some prices, and I'm like, wow, that much for, a tri-tip is ridiculous. Whole tri-tips, a whole rib going upward $40 and up, and it's like, to me, that's ridiculous. Honestly, my prices are much lower, but they're, when you got overhead and stuff like that, you kind of, you got to do what you got to do. But I believe it's a little pricey.
Yeah, you got to meet people in the middle. And I think
Yeah.
some people undercharge. There's some taquerias that I'll go into where I feel like their tacos just are way underpriced for what they're producing. But
Exactly.
then, my younger brother just went to a work conference in Austin and I sent him to a barbecue place there. And he told me how much he paid for the plate he sent me. And I was astounded. I think it was $85 for his plate
Oh.
that had, just a few different things on it. And I'm like,
Oh,
that's incredible. But, I guess it makes sense if you're going to the Mecca of barbecue.
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges with meat costs these days? Meat prices have never been higher, it seems like, and that seems like a
Yeah, and
business.
yeah, it's soaring. I mean, just from last year, it's a big difference. And that's a challenge also when it comes to pricing your product. And trying to stay consistent with your customers, as far as pricing. Because if you will look at the menu, there's been changes just
Yeah.
because of inflation, and price of meat. So it's a challenge, but you got to try to do your best to keep it, do your shop around, find the best deals. But yeah, it's a challenge to keep your prices consistent when they fluctuate like it does.
Do you feel like customers are understanding when your prices fluctuate, or do you get comments and questions?
Honestly, when they change, they ask. But a lot of them that does this, a lot of people go to different places and they see changes everywhere other than just in one location. They know it's because of inflation, and everything rises, prices go up every day almost,
Yeah.
seems like. So I think people are more understanding, and you try to keep everything at a good price point, but sometimes you can't.
Yeah. Can you talk about the differences when you, for you, in terms of the business model with catering versus more like, pop-up events or things where you're selling at like an art hop style event?
Honestly, I enjoy the pop-up style because you get to, the people you meet, conversation you have, and it's just a good networking opportunity. As far as the caterings, it's depending on how big. I've done caterings for 500 and up, and it's like, you get your product out there, but you don't get that personal connection. I enjoy the personal connection and meeting people, and people get to talk to the chef while he's chefing. I just enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah, with the catering, you kind of have an expectation of how much product you're going to sell because it's kind of a prearranged agreement, right? Versus
Yeah.
something
Oh,
where
yeah.
you kind of go in with an element of risk. So does that factor in how you think about the different kind of business models?
Yeah. That's why it's like, it's good. You get a good idea of how many people it's going to be out at different events, you know, when you're used to doing this type of work. But yeah, it's you can have a lot of waste, you know, so it's something you got to factor in, you know. Just, yeah, that's a struggle sometimes, but you know,
part of the process, I guess,
part of the game.
So if someone's coming from outside of Fresno and moving here from, let's say, a barbecue place, like say they're moving from St. Louis to Fresno, how would you describe the barbecue scene to them if moving from somewhere like that?
Oh, man. Honestly, I can't answer that question. I'm not familiar with the St. Louis style, but I would
Oh, no,
describe,
I
you
just
know,
mean the Fresno
honestly.
style. Like if someone's moving here from St. Louis to Fresno and you're trying to describe what the Fresno barbecue scene is like to them.
Oh, man. To me, it's like a wide range of options, you know, different styles, different ways people cook. You know, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Yeah, it's diverse. Yeah, for sure.
It's diverse.
Yeah, this is a question I always ask my guests, and I'm just curious their perspective. So I work in education, and so I tend to see the world through that lens.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And both in problems and solutions. And I'm always curious how people's work life influences how they the ways they see the city. So like working in the world of food and barbecue, how does that influence the way you see Fresno?
You get to meet, I mean, it's like, depending on where you're at in Fresno, you know, Fresno could be very good and it could be, you know, a little on the bad side. It's just all the being in the right place. And I believe that being in this field and meeting the people and being around people that's doing something productive and, you know, loving life and loving what they do, loving their craft and just enjoying, you know, just the natural benefits of doing this, you know, like I said, the people you meet, the places you get to go, the different things. We did something at the Dragonfly Golf Course. Never been to a golf course, but, you know, doing an event, I was able to do that. So just, it's all about where you position yourself in life. And Fresno is, you know, an eclectic place, diverse place.
That's for sure. So we always close with book recommendations. Do you have a book recommendation that you would give to our audience?
Yes. One I just read recently was a short read. It's called Make Your Bed by William H. McRaven. And it says little things that can change your life, you know, and maybe the world. It just by start off by just making your bed, being consistent. You know, that's something that I'm working on in life and in business. You know, this business started, and I didn't get to tell you, skip run into that. This started, you know, my father, he built this in 2000, and I want to say 9 or 10. And, you know, he was in the culinary field for over 40 years. And when he started his business, you know, it was struggles. You know, he had a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, he just kept pushing, stayed consistent, and kept striving for better. And, you know, reading this book just, you know, solidified that for me. And it's just, you know, something that's important. You know, you start off your day every day with a goal, you know, with a task at hand, and continue, you know, you go from there. And yeah, it was a good read. It was a short read, but it was a good one.
Yeah,
inspired.
absolutely. I have also read that book and enjoyed it quite a bit. So I think
Yeah.
it's a great recommendation. To close, can you tell us a little bit more about the business, where people can find you online, where people can buy your food, if they're interested in catering event, how they go about that? Just give some basics for us.
Right now we're reopening. So right now we're doing catering. You can find us at fieldscornergrill.com. You can find us at on Facebook, Fields Corner Grill, Instagram, Fields Corner Grill. We call in orders right now, big, small, we do them all. We do delivery. The number is 559-260-1756. Call us up. We'll let you know what we have for the day. We're not fully operating at this moment, but we will be soon. And we'll be doing a lot of pop-up events coming soon too. We're doing the Battle of the Ribs. It's coming up next month. So yeah, we're just getting started.
Fantastic. Where's the Battle of the Ribs?
That will be Grills Masters putting that on. It'll be, I don't got the address right now, but that'll be April 13th. And yeah,
so people
it's
can
posted
follow
on their
you to
page,
find
Grill
out more
Masters.
details of that when it's coming through.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, Jaron, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I love what you're doing. I love your food. I love what you're here for in Fresno, and I can't wait to try some of your tri-tip, which I have not tried yet, and I need to try it. So
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
you.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. It's been a good experience. You know, I've never done nothing like this before, but I appreciate you. And yeah, I hope to see you soon. And you can try that tri-tip. Hopefully, it'll be the best you've tasted in a while.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.